Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
To London first, where Russian President Vladimir Putin is being accused of approving the assassination of a political opponent, former Russian spy turned Putin critic Alexander Litvinenko. Litvinenko died slowly in London in 2006 after drinking tea laced with polonium-210, that's a radioactive isotope that's deadly even if ingested in tiny quantities. Today, British judge Robert Owen issued a report that concludes that Putin probably ordered the poisoning. Edward Lucas is senior editor of The Economist. He joins us from London by Skype. Edward, astonishing, or maybe you're not astonished.
I'm surprised and pleased that Sir Robert Owen expressed himself so bluntly. He said categorically that Alexander Litvinenko was killed in an FSB operation, the FSB, of course, the Russian Security Service, and that it was probable that is approved not just by the FSB director, but by Vladimir Putin himself. And I think that is a very clear vindication, first of all, of Marina Litvinenko, the dead man's widow, who's fought a long and very difficult and dogged legal battle to make this inquiry happen and to get at least some of this evidence into the public domain.
Well, what is the proof? Does the judge say anything about how he draws that conclusion?
Well, he makes a number of points. First of all, exploding all the other theories that have been drifting around London, that Mr. Litvinenko might have poisoned himself, that he was caught up in a botched smuggling operation, that he was bumped off by British intelligence, that he fell out with his other Russian allies in London, notably the tycoon Boris Berezovsky. And so he explains none of these make any sense, that the polonium was clearly administered by Mr. Dmitry Kovtun and Mr. Andrei Lugovoy, these two Russians, both with an intelligence and security background. And he says they had no animus against Mr. Litvinenko themselves, so clearly they were doing it on someone's orders. And there's plenty of evidence that Mr. Litvinenko, from his position in exile in London, was a major thorn in the side for the Russian authorities.
And that the polonium-210 would have had to have come from somewhere that Vladimir Putin would have had to okay.
Well, it's interesting. This is one of the things that was often said, that polonium is fantastically rare and very expensive, and it could only have come from a government source. And in a way, what makes the report even more credible is that he rather takes that on and says, actually, polonium's not that expensive. Yeah. It can be bought. There's no radioactive signature that proves it came from a Russian laboratory. So this doesn't look as if he's hitting the Kremlin on every point possible. He actually rebuts that and says, no, that's not provable. But the overwhelming majority of the rest of the evidence points in the direction of it being a Russian operation. And you know, the murder of a British citizen done with reckless radioactive poisoning on the streets of London as a signal to other defectors, don't defect, otherwise we'll kill you.
Look, you're talking to someone who is now binge-watching the TV show here, The Americans, which was loosely based. It was inspired by discovering that there were Russian spies living as families in Boston, New York, Washington, as recently as, you know, a few years ago. And if you watch that show, you're willing to believe that this kind of thing happens every day. Does it?
I wrote a book about those Russian illegals in North America, right. And it was astonishing to me that people were so surprised about this, because as a longtime student of Russian intelligence, we know that they run undercover agents in foreign countries and they're very good at doing it. And we have to have lucky breaks most of the time before we catch them. Do they bump people off? Of course they do. There's a long history of people being murdered either inside Russia or outside Russia. And before that, outside the Soviet Union, who get in the way of the Kremlin. Sometimes it's done with an ice pick, as in the case of Leon Trotsky down in Mexico City. Sometimes it's done with poisoning. But I think it's very clear from the report and from everything else that's going on that Russia regards murder as a weapon of statecraft. And that's something that the rest of the world finds very hard to deal with. How do you deal with a big, important country that goes around murdering people, your own citizens, in your own country?
We should say, of course, the Kremlin is absolutely dismissing the judge's conclusion. But what do you think happens to Putin's standing in the world? What happens?
It's going to be very difficult for David Cameron, our prime minister now. If he meets Putin and he has got one of his own senior judges saying this man ordered the murder of a British citizen, is he going to shake his hand? Is he going to be in the same room as him? And yet we need to deal with Russia, at least the British Foreign Office argues this, we need to deal with Russia over Syria. this is not an obstacle to be surmounted. This is an opportunity to be exploited. It's a chance to go after the huge amount, the billions, tens of billions of dollars of Russian dirty money that sloshes through London and other international financial centres, and also to go after the bankers and lawyers and accountants who facilitate that money laundering. That's what we ought to be doing. It would be quite bad for our business model here in the City of London, but I think we should do it, and this would be a great chance. And that indeed is what Marina Litvinenko, Mr. Litvinenko's widow, is urging the British government to do.
That's Edward Lucas, senior editor at The Economist, talking about the news that a British judge issued a report today concluding that Vladimir Putin probably approved the poisoning of an ex-KGB agent in London in 2006. Edward, fascinating. Thank you as always.
Thanks so much, Robin. Bye-bye.